Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that, let's face it, don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus as presented in His gospel and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in that darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. We are going to do something today that in 14 years of broadcasting, we've never done. But we're going to start it today. I got a letter from a viewer that was asking whether I could put the scripture citation up on the screen so that people who watch this program with a Bible in hand would be able to more easily reference what we're talking about. So we have decided that we are going to include the scripture citation in what is known as the lower third, which is the bottom part of the screen, as I am reading the gospel. So that's the big news. What do you say? We quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of God. You know, we spend so much time running here, running there, doing this, doing that. How often do we just stop and say, what am I doing? Where am I going? The good news about the good news is that God wants to lead you. And He does it many ways. But one very powerful way is His Word. So what do you say? I quit yipping about it and we get into it. My prayer for you, my prayer for me is that God will speak to you today through this lesson. We're going to school, my friend. Are you ready to be the student? A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with His disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, son of David, have pity on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you. He threw aside his cloak and sprang up and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man replied to him, Master, I want to see. Jesus told him, go your way. Your faith has saved you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. What a gospel it is, my friend. There's a whole lot here. Deep pool, calling the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we are going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we are talking about blind Bartimaeus. And I love this gospel. One of my favorites, you know, it's hard to pick your favorite gospel. It's kind of like picking your favorite kid. And one thing that makes it very difficult to pick your favorite gospel is that while scripture never changes, through the years, we do. Sometimes in life, we're the prodigal son. Sometimes we're the welcoming father. Sometimes we're the jealous brother. So watch this, because this is really neat. As we move through the different seasons of our lives, different gospels will speak to us within the season that we find ourselves living. Because the Bible is like a diamond that when you hold it up into the light, will shoot out thousands of beams of light. And in much the same way, when a believing Christian reads the Word of God, the Holy Spirit that's within that person, because it's within us all, provides the light that creates the thousand beams of light that flash out. Now, this is the cool part. The particular beam that hits you will have everything to do with the season that you find yourself living in. I don't know how God does this, but He does. I guess it's a God thing. Today we are talking about blind Bartimaeus. It's in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And throughout this gospel, we find many healings, all different kinds of healings. But it seems that Mark has saved the best for last, the greatest healing, the crescendo of healings, if you will, the healing of blind Bartimaeus. And yeah, I know that other gospels might have more of a wow factor. Raising of Lazarus comes to mind. The healing of the 10 lepers. The Syrophoenician woman who touched the cloak of Jesus. The calming at the storm at sea. I mean, I love that gospel. But the healing of Bartimaeus today seems to sum up the zygos, the reason that Jesus came, which, by the way, in case you forgot, was to save you from yourself. So where to even start? Well, let's begin by noting the fact that this is the first time, at least that I know of, in the Gospel of Mark, where the writer actually names the person that is being healed with a proper name, Bartimaeus, or son of Timaeus. Also want to note that our gospel today comes at the very end of a section in Mark's gospel that scripture scholars have long referred to as the discipleship section. And of course, we know that discipleship is all about seeing. Begging the question, what about you? What about me? Do we see Jesus? So, oh no, let's go. As Jesus is leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, the blind man, son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. So let's talk about this. Jericho is a very old city. It's one of the oldest civilizations in all of the Holy Land. And in the ancient world, Jericho was huge. King Herod had one of his castles there. In fact, Herod died in Jericho, as we all will. Do you see him? So here we have Bartimaeus, and he is blind, and he's sitting by the roadside begging as Jesus and his disciples are leaving Jericho. Because Jericho, as often was the case in ancient cities, was a walled-off city with a front gate that people would enter and exit. And this is where the beggars would congregate. Because the theology of the day was, if you're crippled, if you're lame, if you're deformed in any way, it's due to sin and you are considered unclean. Now, if you're unclean, you're untouchable. And if you're untouchable, that means you are banned, even from your own family. Certainly the synagogue and even the city itself, meaning that you got to live outside the city. So consequently, beggars would often stand just outside the city gate, hoping somebody would throw them a coin from time to time so that they could eat. So here they are. Now, I can only imagine that among beggars, there's probably a hierarchy who gets to stand in the preferred place and so on and so forth. And I could only imagine that Bartimaeus, being blind, was probably pretty low on that totem pole, totally defenseless, probably got robbed all the time. Yet, when we read that he's called by Jesus, he springs up and throws his cloak to the side, which is significant because that cloak represents probably the only thing that he had. Now, you contrast that with the rich young ruler who appears just a little bit before this same chapter. Remember that guy? He had a lot of things. He was a righteous man. He was following all the rules. Consequently, he was enjoying a life of great wealth and ease because, according to the theology of the day, his wealth and his blessings proved that God was on his side. A theology, dare I say, that continues today in what we know as the gospel of prosperity. Now, if you recall, Jesus had called that rich young man to follow him, but he just couldn't do it. Why? Because he had a lot of stuff, and he had a great attachment to all that stuff. Unfortunately, all that stuff kept him out of heaven. But getting back to Bartimaeus, he has nothing. Well, he's got a cloak, but that's probably his only possession. Yet he is prepared to throw to the side when he gets called by Jesus. So he's sitting there. Somebody tells him that Jesus of Nazareth, this healer, is coming his way. And he begins to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Now, remember a while back, the disciples were arguing among themselves who was the greatest. And Jesus sat them down and said, "Hey, you want to be the greatest? You want to be the first? You got to be the last. You got to be the slave of all." Remember that lesson? Well, evidently, the disciples didn't remember that lesson because they were rebuking Bartimaeus. They said, "Be quiet, go away. Don't you see we're on a mission from God? I mean, we're headed for glory. Don't interrupt us." Now, I bring this up to make this point in passing. Jesus seems to have this habit of showing up at the most inconvenient of times. I'm serious. It seems that Jesus has a habit of showing up in the middle of our lives in the form of an interruption. It's just the way it goes. We might be all busy doing what we think is the Lord's business, and then all of a sudden, we got a knock at the door and somebody needs help, and we're like, "Go away, don't bother me. Can't you see? I'm busy doing the Lord's work." Meanwhile, Jesus is standing at our door. I know this because I have been guilty of this myself. We need to always be aware that the Lord can show up and does show up many times in different ways, often in ways that we do not expect. We need to be aware. Getting back to these disciples, they're on their way out of Jericho. They're obviously going somewhere, and Bartimaeus shows up in the form of an interruption. So he calls out, they try to rebuke him, run him off, but Bartimaeus, he don't care. He don't care. He calls out even more loudly, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The Greek word used for cry out is a very strong word, and the only other time we see it is when demons are cast out. So it's like a screeching. So this guy, Bartimaeus, is definitely making a big scene. "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Because Jesus is passing by, and he knows. He just knows. This is his chance, and he's not going to let his chance pass by. "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Now, it's important to note that title, Son of Man, is a messianic title. This is the first time we see that title appear in the Gospel of Mark. And of course, we've talked about this many times before, but the Jews at the time had a heightened messianic expectation during this day. They were waiting on a Messiah, and this coming Messiah was going to come from the house of David. This was to be his lineage. So I have a question. How does Bartimaeus know? How does Bartimaeus know Jesus is the Son of David? I mean, Peter himself had just recently declared in private with his disciples that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, Son of David. We know this as Peter's confession. But how did Bartimaeus know? How did he have eyes to see? Do you see him? Bartimaeus calls Jesus son of David. How does this blind man sitting by the side of the road, probably never been to synagogue in his entire life, how does he know that Jesus is the son of David? Well, may I suggest that the Holy Spirit put its finger on his heart and he just knew. Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Be quiet, go away, leave the master alone. Yet he cries out even more, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Unlike the rich young ruler that appears just before this gospel, who didn't really think that he needed Jesus, Bartimaeus knows that he needs Jesus. So my friends, we can ring the bell because we have hit the rock bottom of the deeper meanings of this gospel. This is a foundational principle of Christianity. Okay, so I want you to take the roast beef out of your ears, really open up your mind really wide and hear this. Okay, are you ready? You will never know the reality of Jesus in your life until you first know the necessity of Jesus in your life. Okay, do you hear that? Because let me say that again, because this is big. You will never know the reality of Jesus in your life until you first know the necessity of Jesus in your life. And somehow this blind man, Bartimaeus, knows that he needs Jesus. Because a blind man knows that he's blind. He knows he can't see, and he knows it. And he knows that he can't make himself see. He's lost, and he knows it. He knows that he himself cannot find his own way. He needs a healer. In very much the same way, a sinner knows that he is a sinner, and he knows that he cannot unsin himself. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We are broken computers, and a broken computer cannot fix itself. Bartimaeus knows that he needs a Savior. Now, many people of that day had a marginal interest in Jesus. Many people today have a marginal interest in Jesus. Maybe you've heard about him. Maybe they had heard about the miracles. Maybe they even had started to believe in him. At the very least, they were curious. But did they know they needed him? Which begs the question, what about you? Do you know that you need Jesus? This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking all about the fact that you will never know the reality of Jesus in your life until you first understand your need for Jesus in your life. And as Jesus was making his way through this crowd today, he came upon a man who knew that he needed Jesus. And of course, Jesus knows this. And that's why after Jesus heals this man, he says, go on your way. Your faith has saved you. Not me. Your faith in me. The fact that you knew you needed me. Again, begging the question, what about you? What about me? Do we know that we need Jesus? Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Disciples were trying to shoo him away, but he pushed back. He had to fight for his blessing. He ran up against great resistance, just as you and I will run up against resistance in this world. They rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But he kept on calling out even more loudly, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And boom, everything changes on a dime. All of a sudden, these disciples are saying, "Hey, take courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you." Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how quickly the winds of change will blow? All of a sudden, these disciples who have been trying to get rid of him are now his friends. And people are like that. Bartimaeus springs up, throws his cloak to the side. Like I said before, probably the only thing that he had. But he throws it aside. I imagine when he did, some other beggar came up and stole it. So anyway, he throws it aside. He springs up. He comes to Jesus. Why? Because this was his moment, my friends. And he was taking it. He wasn't going to let it pass by. Getting back to our fair-weathered friends in the crowd, first they're like, "Be quiet, go away, go away." Now they're like cheerleaders. "Oh yeah, take courage. The master is calling you. Come on, get up. We of course, we can't touch you. You know, Yahweh forbid, but he's calling you." So Bartimaeus is calling out. Jesus hears him and he turns to his disciples and he says, "Call him." Now, is it just me? Or did anybody else notice that Jesus is asking his disciples to call him? Why wouldn't Jesus himself call him? I mean, he could have. I mean, he's called people before. Obviously, he heard him crying out, but he chooses not to. He turns to his disciples and says, "You call him." We could do a whole show on nothing but this line. You call him. You want to be my disciple? You call him. You want to follow me? You call the other. You see somebody suffering in this world? You call them. You see somebody lost, wandering in circles? You call them. You see somebody that maybe you don't feel deserves to be saved? You call them. Let us not act like the Pharisees. If we as church could just get this one, do you see him? You call him. Take courage. Get up. He's calling you. So he springs up. Like I said, takes his only possession, his cloak, throws it aside. But that's okay, because when Bartimaeus sprang up, he sprang up fully expecting a healing. This was not a maybe thing. He left it all behind. He pushed every chip he had onto the table. He was here for his healing, and he was not going to be denied. There was no plan B. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Which, I've always found that a bit odd. Why would he ask that question? Of course he knows what he wants him to do. He wants to see. But I guess it's that whole name it and claim it. He wanted him to say it out loud. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he says, "Master, I want to see." This is when Jesus says, "Go on your way. Your faith has saved you." And immediately his sight is restored. Now, did you notice that Jesus does not say, "Your faith has healed you"? He says, "Your faith has saved you." Bartimaeus came looking for a healing, but he found salvation, which is good, because Jesus can and often does heal you. But in the end, you're going to die of something. Nobody gets out of here alive. Life is a terminal disease. Lazarus was raised from the grave. Oh yeah, but there's a gravesite for him somewhere. That is why we need a Savior. Blind Bartimaeus understood that. Like I said, the only guy, at least I know of, who is healed that Mark names. Why does he name him? Well, you know, at the end it says he followed him on the way, which is meaning he became a Christian. And tradition holds that Bartimaeus became a very prominent member of the early church. I can see him leading the hosannas in downtown Jerusalem. Look at what he's done for me. I can see him in the upper room when the tongues of fire came. I can see him reaching out to touch an untouchable, telling him, hey, you are not bound by sin, and I can prove it. Jesus saves. And finally, and most importantly, I say to all of my blind brothers and sisters out there watching today who are quite convinced that they can see clearly, just as Bartimaeus was on the side of the road that day and someone whispered in his ear that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, let me whisper in your ear that he is passing by you. Bartimaeus took that opportunity. What about you? Jesus is passing by you today. He is calling you. The only question is, what are you gonna do? Yes, my friend, Jesus was calling Bartimaeus in our gospel today, but you know what? He continues to call you today. Understand, we don't need to go out and find Jesus. He's already found you. And when he puts his finger on your heart, you will have a decision to make. Do you see him? He's passing by. The only thing left is how are you going to respond? Don't let this opportunity pass you by today. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.